Today's reading is Psalm 95, which can be found on page 602 of the Church Bibles. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, church. As you may have heard, my name is Chris, and I'm a staff here at Emmanuel. It's a privilege to bring God's word to you today. We have come to the third week of Advent, and today we are speaking about joy. And can I just say, what a joy it was to have 12 different year two classes walk around the Christmas journey this week. What a joy it was to see three churches, Emmanuel, Christ Church, and Hope Church, working together to make that happen. But can I also say what a joy it is to have a cold this morning? For when I am weak, that is when I'm strong. Could I say what a joy it is to go through times of sicknesses and trials? What is joy? Teresa stole a bit of my thunder there.
Sorry.
That's okay. A few years ago, I heard a teacher say to me that joy was J-O-Y, Jesus, others, you. And that's the order you're supposed to place people. Jesus first, then other people, and yourself last. Jesus, others, you. This psalm today is about worship. And I would like to say that true joy comes because of true worship. Not the joy of happiness that lasts for a moment. Not the joy of presence which is forgotten the next day. But deep and lasting joy. That we can say like Paul says when he was in prison in Philippians 1:18. What does it matter? The important thing that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Paul rejoices because Christ was being preached. His circumstances never affected his level of joy. He had joy because he believed in Jesus. He worshipped God and gave him joy. Back to Psalm 95. I do love the psalm. In fact, I've used it a few times as a call to worship in this church. It reminds us to come to God, to sing praises to him, to worship him. It shows us how to worship and why we should worship. But it also shows us how not to worship. And although the first seven verses speak of the joy of worshiping, the last part is a very serious warning. So let's begin at the beginning, where the psalmist commands us to come and sing praises. The verse says, come and sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. I think this passage shows us the importance of church. This is not a call to sing songs by yourself in the quiet of your bedroom, although the Bible does have that in other parts. This is a song, a celebration of the people of God coming together with the us and the we pronouns used. All of us coming together, singing and shouting to God. It's a celebration time when the church comes together. I had the joy of going to Christ Church Primary School choir show this week, and it was a wonderful time. They had both Key Stage 1 and Key Stage 2 choirs singing. And you could tell when the younger choir, the Key Stage 1 choir, started to sing, because all of a sudden the volume went up so much more. And then the tempo wasn't always quite kept the same way. And maybe the tune wasn't exactly right. Maybe they were slightly off key. But don't get me wrong, it was a wonderful time. The children were happy and they were singing for the joy of performing. The parents and the family that were there enjoyed it. They didn't care that it was slightly out of tune. They loved it when the volume went up and the little children started singing, because it was their children singing. And that is why I'm so glad that God is my father, because my singing is terrible. I mean, it's so bad that if you stand next to me, you will sing off key because I'm so badly off key. God loves me singing. He loves to hear my voice when I'm singing praises to him, because he is my father. He calls me, and he calls each one of you to sing for joy, to shout aloud. I do enjoy a beautiful singing. I love it when people sing well. I love a beautiful melody coming out. I had the opportunity to come last night as well to the music festival, and that was quite different to the choirs of Christ Church Key Stage 1 and 2. It was beautiful. There's something wonderful about hearing people sing well. It is much greater to hear that than a cacophony of ill-sounding voices. But God loves that because we are his children, no matter how we sound. God loves us to sing worship as a church, to make joyful noise, to sing out loud. So how are we to sing? We are to sing to the best of our abilities to God. Our voices must sing, they must shout, they must thank God for who he is. The word extol in that passage means to praise enthusiastically. We must use music and song to enthusiastically give glory to our great God. And why should we do this? Simply because he is God. He is our King. He is the one who made all things, and he holds all things together. He owns everything and everyone. He is our very reason for being. He is the reason why we are still here today, why our atoms hold together. We sing and we worship because of him. He is our God. The season of Advent that we're in is a time of waiting, a time of longing for the coming of Jesus. But not just when he came as a baby. We long for him to return as the King of Kings. We want to use this time to use music and song to extol him, to sing for joy, to shout aloud to our God with music and song. And so those first five verses reminds us to do that with great exuberance. And then the psalmist brings out another command: come. But this time it's slightly different. Come and submit in worship. Come, let us kneel down in worship. Let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. And here we see another way of worship, another way to receive the joy of the Lord. And this time, We go from external worship, showed by singing, to internal worship, showed by submission. The first five verses can sometimes be faked. Sometimes it can just be all a show. Sometimes we make people think around us that everything is good between us and God. But then comes verse 6. And this is where true Christianity is shown. This bowing down and kneeling, it may be a physical posture of worship. It's not very often done in the churches today. But it's more than that. It's saying to God, not my will, but your will be done. Not what I want, but what you want. It's saying, I choose to agree and follow you wherever you lead me. This is allowing God to have complete control over your life. And why would you do that? Well, verse 7 tells us, it shows us that we are like sheep. We are the people of his pasture. We are the flock under his care. Sheep are a wonderful animal to be compared to because sheep are really dumb. They're not the cleverest animals in the barnyard. Sheep have become so domesticated that they cannot survive without shepherds. They have no way to protect themselves from wild animals. They don't have sharp claws or horns, some of them. Most domestic varieties have lost the ability to shed their fleeces. And so eventually, if they get lost, they end up, their wool becomes so heavy that they die because they can't move. They follow each other into danger, like ravines and places where they can't come back from. Sheep are terrible animals. They are not intelligent. They are the animals that we are compared to. Because we actually are not that different. We too will die eternally without Jesus, without our shepherd. We have no way apart from the Holy Spirit to protect ourselves from the attack of Satan, his plans and his purposes. In fact, most people who don't know Jesus just go along with him. We don't even know how to remove sin from our lives. And eventually we'll become overburdened with that sin if we can't hear the voice of God. The Bible calls this a hardening of the heart or a calloused heart. As Jesus said when he was quoting Isaiah in Matthew chapter 13. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though through seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing and never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Doesn't that sound like the world today? Doesn't that sound like when you try and share the gospel with someone, they just don't hear it. They just don't see what you're saying. Their hearts don't comprehend it. We need to submit to God in all ways. We must bow down and kneel before him as our God, as our King, and as our Shepherd. Because if we don't, then we'll be like those in the last stanza of the psalm. Those who don't come and follow. And when I use this as a call to worship, this part of the psalm often gets left off. Today, if only you would hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, there are people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger that they will never enter my rest. The first word there, today, is actually today. Today, the day that you're reading the psalm. Today, the day that you're singing the song. Or today, the day that someone else is reading it to you. Today is the day to hear God's voice. Now, to really understand the psalm, you need to have a little bit of prior knowledge of the Bible, because this psalm comes out from Exodus chapter 17. And in order to get there, I'm going to give you a quick history lesson just so you can get to the same place. So God created the world. Adam and Eve sinned, and they became separated from God. So God created a flood to save only Noah's family. But afterwards, the people sinned, and they became separated from themselves and God at the Tower of Babel. So God called a family, the family of Abraham. And after time, they became separated from God and became slaves in Egypt. And so God called the nation out of Egypt through Moses, preparing them to receive the law, and began to take them to the place that he had promised Abraham. There were huge displays of God's power. He gave them the 12 plagues over the Egyptians. He allowed water stopping from a sea to allow them to walk on dry land, and then to allow the water to crush and drown the enemies right behind them. They had seen God change the bitter waters of Marah to sweet waters. He had provided them with heavenly food every day called manna. And all through this journey, they had complained and grumbled against God and Moses. And so now we get to chapter 17, verses 1 to 7. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, it's page 75. Exodus chapter 17, 1 to 7. The whole Israelite community came out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord answered Moses, "Get out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place. Oh, my word's gone. But Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled because of the testing of the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" So let's jump back to Psalm 95. God is using this well-known history that all the Israelites knew to allow us to know what will happen if we don't follow God correctly. The result of those complaining and grumbling was that the entire generation of people, apart from two of them, were not allowed to enter the promised land. Almost that entire generation died in the wilderness. They never entered the land that was meant to give them rest. Today in the church today, this is not the rest that God has promised us. We're not going to rest in Israel. Our rest is in Jesus. But the warning is still there for us today. If we do not hear his voice, we too will never enter his rest. And so what is that voice saying that we need to hear? In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5 and verse 14. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him was nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Verse 14. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is the very Word of God, and him becoming flesh and making his dwelling known amongst us is why we celebrate Christmas. It's why our church is called Emmanuel, God with us. The voice that we need to hear is what Jesus said and did. It is the good news of why he came to earth, why he was born as a baby, why he grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and with man, why he became a rabbi, and then why he died on the cross. Not to stay dead, but to rise again on the third day. It is why he ascended into heaven and is alive today, interceding for us. This good news, this gospel, is what we need to hear from God. This is the true word that leads us into his rest. And it's summarized in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 8. Listen carefully to these words. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Jesus took our grumbling and our complaining of God by his mercy, and he generously washed and cleansed us to rebirth and renewal to the hope of glory. If this is something you want to know more about, if you want to know how this all works, please do come speak to me or speak to John Shepherd, our vicar. True worship, true joy comes from trusting Jesus, from following him, like a sheep being led by our shepherd to a place where we walk in obedience to him. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Let me pray. Father, I do thank you that you are our God, and we are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. Lead us, direct us. Let us know your joy in all circumstances. Let us know who you are and what you've done for us. That no matter what situation we would go through, we would know that all things will work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purposes, because you chose us to be part of your family. In Jesus' name, amen.